I mean, isn't it enough that he died on the cross, paid for our sins? This whole resurrection thing, it's a little out there. I mean, somebody rose from the dead, really? Can't we just believe that he went to the cross and that's enough? Why is it so important, especially for Christians, that we believe in the resurrection and that we hold dearly to it, that we celebrate on a day like today? Why is it so important? Well, if you ask people from other religions on the planet, they'll tell you that the resurrection is not important, and in some cases that it didn't happen. They'll twist it or turn it or distort it in some way. Jehovah's Witnesses do that. New Agers do that. Christian Scientists do it. Scientologists, Muslims, the Jews do it. Hindus do it. Buddhists do it. They don't believe in the resurrection. Or if they do, they put some sort of twist on it that makes it different than what you'll find the story of the Scriptures proclaims. Isn't it enough that we're talking about bunnies and candy and eggs today? Why do we have to talk about the resurrection as well? Well, if you ask that to the Apostle Paul, he would say this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He would say, "And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead." And he goes on to say, "And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins." The world would say, "Can't we just get along? You believe what you want to believe, we're going to believe what we want to believe. Can't we all be right?" I don't understand how that argument works, because I'm saying Jesus rose from the dead and all these other religions are saying he didn't. Those are two completely different things, black and white, as different as life and death. So no, we can't just get along in that way. Somebody is right and somebody is wrong. And the testimony of Scripture proclaims that he is risen. So today I'd like to give you four reasons why. There's more than four, but I'd like to give you four reasons why the resurrection matters. And the first reason is this, that it fulfilled Old Testament prophecy. There's a few places in the Old Testament, not a lot, but a few, and I've got them listed on the screen here for you, that foretell the resurrection of the Messiah. And the one I'd like to focus on for just a moment is in Psalm 16. This was written by David 1,000 years before Jesus walked the earth. David says in chapter 16, verses 9 through 11, he says, "Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body will also rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful one see decay. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." Now, of course, David was writing this about himself. But doesn't it seem a bit odd that he says, "Nor will you let your faithful ones see decay"? When is it that David began decaying after he was dead and in the grave? So he wasn't really talking about himself here, even though he may not have known it. He was actually prophesying about the Messiah that would come, the Holy One, the Faithful One, whose body would not see decay in the grave. Peter actually used this very passage in his great sermon on Pentecost Sunday. You can find it in Acts chapter 2. He quotes these very words, and he uses this as the argument to the Jews to be able to say that Jesus was the Messiah and he is risen. Paul used the same passage a little bit later in the book of Acts, chapter 13, verse 35. I forget what city he was in. He used the same passage to prove that the Old Testament prophecy had come true in the life of Jesus, in the resurrection of Christ. You'll also find prophecies about the resurrection of the Messiah in Isaiah 53 and Isaiah 55. And Jonah, his 3 days in the belly of the whale, in some way foreshadow the death and resurrection of the Savior. As a matter of fact, Jesus made reference to that. You can see it in Matthew chapter 12. Jesus made reference to Jonah's prediction, pointing back to that, saying that he was talking about him, that the Son of Man would be dead, buried, and come back to life. And so the reason the resurrection matters is because if Jesus did not rise from the dead, then these prophecies in the Old Testament are false. And as soon as you prove anything in the Old Testament to be false, the Old Testament scriptures, the reliability of scripture begins to crumble. You can't stand on anything. If you can't believe this one thing, you can't believe any of it. And therefore, all of the stories of the Old Testament stand or fall with whether or not the resurrection is actually true. That's why the resurrection matters. And the Old Testament is the foundation of the New Testament. And so if the Old Testament crumbles, the New Testament has no legs to stand on as well. And then you might as well take this thing, and as Paul said, our faith is futile. Our preaching is useless. But he did rise from the dead. And it fulfilled Old Testament prophecy. And that's one of the reasons why today is so important. Why the resurrection is so important. Another reason why the resurrection matters is because it fulfilled Jesus' own prophecies about his resurrection. If you look at Matthew chapter 20, verses 18 and 19, actually I'll start with verse 17. Now Jesus was going up to Jerusalem. On the way, he took the 12 aside and said to them, "We are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and to the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. On the third day, he will be raised to life." Jesus predicted in detail what was going to happen. He also predicted it 2 other times in Matthew, in Mark, in Luke, and in John. The resurrection is important because if it didn't happen, then what can we assume about what Jesus said? He's a liar. And that's not true. Because Jesus predicted his own resurrection. And if Jesus is a liar or a lunatic, then he is not God. And your faith is useless. Your faith is futile. The resurrection is important because it confirms the deity of Christ. Every word that he spoke came true or will come true. And specifically about his own life and death and resurrection, these prophecies come true on Resurrection Day. That's why today is so important, because it confirms the deity, the lordship, the authority of Jesus over his power over death and the grave. That's why today matters. Another reason why today matters so much is because it proved that his sacrifice was acceptable to God. If you look at Romans chapter 4. Verse 25. Paul writes, "He," and he's speaking about Jesus, "He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification." So he was delivered for our sins to the cross, over to death. And he was raised for our justification. Now, what is justification? Well, it's a big fancy church word that means just as if I'd never sinned. Justification is to be made right with God. How is it that we are made right with God? Because of his sacrifice for us on the cross. That sacrifice was only acceptable because God saw it as acceptable and raised Jesus from the dead. That was the proof. That was the stamp of approval. Dead saviors can't save. And We serve one who is alive, who came back on the third day. The penalty was paid and it was accepted. Most of you in the room probably carry a credit card, and when you go to the store, you run your credit card. And what's the one word that you hope that the clerk doesn't say to you? That it was denied, or your debit card. Christ's payment for your death came back as acceptable. He was not denied, and the proof of it was the resurrection. That's why today is so important. Because if Jesus' death didn't count, he would still be dead. His death would be no more useful to us than the death of bulls or goats. But his sacrifice was accepted by God, and the resurrection proves it. Not only does the resurrection matter because it fulfills Old Testament prophecy and the prophecies of Christ and the accepted payment on the cross, but the fourth reason why today is so important is because the resurrection demonstrates the heart of the gospel. The very heart of the gospel. Paul wrote in chapter 10, verse 9, "If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." This is the gospel. This is how I receive the gospel. I declare with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. And then I have to believe something. What is it that I have to believe? This crazy story that the men thought that the women were talking about was just nonsense. This crazy story about Jesus. They just saw him be crucified. And you have to believe that he's resurrected as the scriptures proclaim. If you don't believe that Jesus actually rose from the dead, then you're not saved. Saved from what? The wrath of God for your sins. The resurrection is the key or the heart of the gospel. Not only do you declare with your mouth that Jesus is God, but you must believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Your salvation hinges on the belief of this particular part of the story of Jesus. It's easy for us to believe that he was crucified. It doesn't take much faith to believe in that. But it takes great faith to believe that he rose on the third day. Your salvation, your eternal life depends on the resurrection. And without it, there is no good news. Without the resurrection, we're in deep trouble. By the way, I've mentioned this word, the gospel. I talked about it a little bit last week, but it's worth repeating. What is the gospel? Does it have to do with some sort of music? What is the gospel? It is the message of the Bible. And specifically, what is it? Well, it means God's good news. And to summarize it, Paul tells us what the gospel is in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We talked about this last week a little bit as well. Paul writes, "Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel. The gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you, otherwise you have believed in vain. For what I received I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. That he was buried, that he was raised on the third day, according to the scriptures." There it is. The gospel is contained in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Without a belief, a stand, a receiving of the gospel story that centers in the life, death, and burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you have no hope. But if your faith and your trust is in Him, then you have everything. The gospel is good news. And why is it so good? Because of this. It's because you are guilty of sin. The Bible says, all have fallen short of the glory of God, for all have sinned. And we're not going to go around the room and ask everybody to share one of them today, right? We all know. We've all fallen short. We've all broken God's commands. And because of that, the wages of our sin is death. That's the penalty that God has determined because of our rebellious nature, because of our sin. Jesus said, whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on them. If you reject the Son. So that's bad news. That we are sinners and we deserve eternal death. But the good news is that Jesus came because God sent His one and only Son. That whoever believes in Him will not perish, but will have eternal life. Jesus came and took God's wrath in your place. We studied that last week. We talked about that, where He was on the cross for you because of your sin. That's good news. Someone paid my debt for me. And because that debt was paid, God can then justly, fairly, rightly offer you a gift. The gift of forgiveness for everything you've ever done and eternal life. God can freely give that to you. And it's to be received. It's not just good enough to just know that it exists. That gift must be received. And it is to be received by faith. It's not by works. It's not by going to church on Easter or Christmas or 52 Sundays a year. It's not by giving money or being good or standing on your head. It is by believing in the death, burial, and resurrection story of Jesus Christ. And you confess it with your mouth that Jesus is Lord of my life. And I believe in my heart that God raised Him from the dead, and you will be saved. That's the good news. That's the gospel. And when you come to Him, the Bible is full of all of these promises of what God is going to do for you. The first thing He does is He makes you a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. You may look the same in the mirror, but your spirit is different. You now have the ability as a believer to obey Him. Whereas before you knew Christ, you were a slave to sin. The only thing you could do was sin. Once you put your faith in Christ, He gives you the power, the ability. His Holy Spirit lives within you to be able to live God's commands, to be able to love one another. He begins to sanctify you and transform you, shaping you into the likeness of His Son, Jesus. That's the good news. I don't have to do it myself because I can't. He'll do it for me. That's the good news. And why does this good news, this gospel, why does this matter? Why does it matter? Well, it matters because of this. It's a matter of life and death. This is not just biblical principles for you to live by so that you can have a better life. This is a matter of life and death. Not only this life and this death, but eternal life and eternal death. This is the most important story you can ever receive. Resurrection Day is a reminder of just how important it is. This is the gospel. This is good news for us to receive. So what am I to do? What must I do to be saved? What do I have to do? Well, Paul said it. He says, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. And that's not just I read it off the page and I check it off the list and now I'm good, right? Because I said these magical words. It's far beyond that. This is an actual belief or trust that the profession that you're making with your mouth, you actually believe. That I believe that I'm not the Lord of my life. I believe Jesus is Lord of my life and this universe. He's the one that I pledge allegiance to. And believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. This crazy story about this prophet from Nazareth who, on the third day, the tomb was empty. Mentioned that today's a special day. Isaiah's birthday, church's birthday weekend, right? We celebrate the resurrection. It's also personally very important for me. 30 years ago this weekend, I confessed with my mouth that Jesus is Lord, and I proclaimed, or I believed in my heart that God raised him from the dead. 30 years ago this weekend. And I remember prior to that moment where my pastor's wife shared the simple gospel with me, I remember thinking, I don't need this. I am a good kid. I'm a good person. God needs me. I don't need him. I come to church every Sunday. I know all of the Bible stories. I'm the first one to answer in all of them. I tithe off my lawn mowing money. I'm a good person. I don't need this. And she shared it with me, and I saw my sin. I saw how far I was from God and how I was going to hell. What do I do? You bow your knee. You submit to the lordship of Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you will be saved. And so there in the library in the church in Edgerton, I prayed a prayer, and I meant it from my heart. And in that moment, my destiny went from hell to heaven. I had went from eternal death to eternal life. The next day I got baptized, made a public profession, and my life has never been the same since. Praise God. So what must you do to be saved? I know many of you in the room, your story. You have a similar testimony of when you went from life to death, eternal life. From eternal death to eternal life. I'll edit that on the sermon audio, right? I'll edit that out. Went from eternal life to eternal death, that moment where you were resurrected. Did I just do it again? Well, I haven't had any chocolate yet this morning. So,
but you're still human.
I am still human. I still make mistakes. But what I'd like to do this morning, before Tyler comes and we sing our closing song, I want to open the altar up, give you an opportunity today, if you'd like, to be able to come and make things right with God again. Maybe you've wandered. Maybe there's unconfessed sin in your life that you've been holding on to, and you say, you're right, Lord. I need to confess that you're the Lord of my life and not me. And so what we'll do is we'll just take a few minutes, but if you'd like to pray, if you want to come to the altar and pray today, and if you want to pray by yourself, I'd encourage you to come over here on the cross side of the altar. Maybe today, and I don't know who's in the room, but maybe you've never made a decision to follow Christ. And if I could remind you of the importance of this, it's a life or death decision. Everybody has to start somewhere. Maybe today's the day for you. And so if you'd like to come and give your life to Christ, maybe you have no idea what that looks like or what that means, but if maybe today's the day where you draw a line in the sand, you step over it, you put a stake in the ground, and you say, I just want Jesus. I want eternal life. I want to be forgiven. I want him to be my Lord. If that's you and you want somebody to pray with you, I'm going to be right over here, and I'll walk you through it. And so Tyler's going to come. He's going to strum a little bit so we have a little background music. But if you'd like to pray by yourself today, I'd encourage you this side of the altar. If you'd like somebody to pray with you for salvation or for a need that you may have, I'm going to be up here on this side of the altar. Come over here and pray with me. I'm going to ask a couple of the elders to come as well, John and Bruce, if you guys would come on up. But this is a holy moment. And if you're not coming forward to pray, please be in it. Please be in prayer for those in the room who may be wrestling with issues of eternal life and eternal death. God is good. All the time. So let's spend a few minutes. Now's the opportunity. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for these moments in which we can solidify some things. You're already here. We don't have to ask you to come. You already know the issues. And you've been drawing us. You're wooing us because of your amazing grace that you've extended to us. And so I pray that you would give those in the seats today courage to come and to just talk with you, to be able to declare the truth, and then to live in the joy of life with you. So I ask your blessing on these moments of altar call. May you be faithful to call your people. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.